Hello and welcome to Ox Talk on Tuesday, the 21st of July 2026. My name is Jake and I'll be compiling this week's edition, in which you will hear a selection of news items from the local Oxford papers, chosen and read by Christine Churchill and Stephen Harness. Copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Sunrise today is at 5:09 a.m. and sunset is at 9:06 p.m. Before we start, here is some information on how to listen to Ox Talk on your Alexa device. At the end of the news, you can hear information on how to access Ox Talk online.
Notice to listeners of Ox Talk who may wish to use an Alexa smart speaker to access our service. To listen to Ox Talk on an Alexa device, you can use the Talking Newspaper skill. You will need to first enable the skill. To do this, simply say, "Alexa, enable talking newspaper." Then, to listen to Ox Talk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open talking newspaper.
Welcome to your talking newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News. Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have any problems listening to Ox Talk using an Alexa device, it could be due to the way that your device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set it up in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Ox Talk and we will try to help.
King Charles praised a new Oxford University building for the enormous difference it will make to the people of Oxford. The new Schwarzman Centre building between Woodstock Road and Walton Street was officially opened by the monarch. The King was welcomed to the facility by the university's Chancellor, Lord William Hague, before a choir of secondary school children performed a rendition of Monteverdi's Cantate Domino for him. US businessman and chief executive of the investment firm Blackstone, Stephen Schwarzman, who funded the building with a £185 million donation, also greeted the King. As he unveiled the plaque, His Majesty said, "Nothing could give me greater pleasure than to be with you today, just for a short moment, to celebrate this remarkable building, which I now discover has all the humanities departments in one place." His Majesty toured the 500-seat Soman Concert Hall, the only passive house concert hall in the world. He was also shown a selection of historic musical instruments from the university's renowned Bate collection by representatives from the Faculty of Music, and a rare Bach manuscript from the Bodleian Library. Alex Vincent, chief executive of the Schwarzman Centre, said, "The centre being open to the public was Stephen Schwarzman's vision. It could have been an academic building, but he had the vision that he wanted it fully accessible for people. The Great Hall is accessible for the community 7 days a week. There will be mother and baby groups, book groups. They can use it in their own way in amongst the students and academics." The centre opened in October 2025 as a world-class hub for the humanities in Oxford, bringing academic excellence and cultural activity together under one roof. Home to 7 humanities faculties and research institutes, it combines state-of-the-art teaching and research facilities with world-class performance spaces. It is also the single largest building project ever undertaken by Oxford University. Lord Hague said, "At a time when the world is changing with extraordinary speed, the study of history, languages, philosophy, literature, music and the arts helps us to understand who we are, how we have arrived here and how we might shape the future. The King also visited an Oxford University college to celebrate its 700th anniversary. His Majesty was invited to Oriel College, meeting students, academics, staff and alumni. Founded by Royal Charter 700 years ago in 1326, Oriel is the oldest college of royal foundation in Oxford. The monarch is the visitor of the college in recognition of this royal connection. His Majesty was welcomed by the Provost, Lord Mendoza, and was shown the chapel and hall. In the chapel, the King viewed the small, humble oratory St. John Henry Newman used for private prayer when a college fellow and chaplain. The King met members from across Oriel's community, including students, state school pupils, governing body fellows, staff, donors and academics working in fields related to sustainability, energy policy and the environment.
City Sightseeing Oxford has launched a family-friendly summer offer with its open-top bus tours. A special family ticket is available for £49, valid for up to 2 adults and 3 children, reduced from the usual price of £57. Kamini Patel, Retail and Tourism Manager at City Sightseeing Oxford, said, "We can't wait for another busy summer season, and the entire team is looking forward to seeing Oxford full of visitors and tourists. We want to help visitors to Oxford discover all there is to our beautiful city and access excellent value experiences. Visitors can also combine the open-top bus tour with a 40-minute boat trip with Salter steamers departing from Folly Bridge. Combined tickets are priced at £34.50 for adults and £23 for children and £32.50 for students and seniors. The visitor information point on High Street is open daily from 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. until September the 1st. Carfax Tower is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. with last entry at 5:40 p.m. Discounted tickets for several major attractions are available at the visitor information point. These include New College, the Magdalen Bridge Boathouse, the BMW Mini Plant Tour and Blenheim Palace. Visitors can also access partner discounts by showing a bus tour ticket. These include offers at Modern Art Oxford, Sunny Hill Vineyard and Oxford Dogs in the Covered Market.
Oxford has been named the top spot for summer foraging in the South East. A recent study by UK gardening supplier Hedges Direct revealed that the city offers more opportunities than anywhere else in the region to gather wild foods, including blackberries, elderberries, mushrooms and hawthorn. The study analysed records for 13 commonly foraged wild foods and found that Oxford has 48 foraging sites per 100 square kilometres, placing it 14th overall in the UK. Stinging nettles top the list in Oxford with 371 records, followed by hawthorn, 267, elderberries, 266, and blackberries, 257. Martin Chaplin, head of horticulture at Hedges Direct, said, "Whether you're a seasoned forager or just getting started, foraging is a fantastic way to build a relationship with the land around us, spend more time in nature, and even benefit directly from the freshly wild-harvested foods you pick up along the way." Elsewhere in the southeast, Windsor and Maidenhead placed second with 28 sites per 100 square kilometres, and Hastings was named the best spot in the region for finding wild garlic. Rushmore in Hampshire was identified as the top UK location for chanterelle mushrooms.
Dozens of people were left homeless overnight after a serious fire ripped through a caravan park. People living at Oaks Caravan Park in Fifield Wick, close to Kingston Bagbuys near Abingdon, do not know when they will be able to return back to their caravans. Some 125 firefighters from 14 fire engines, 7 specialists' vehicles and other vehicles were called to the park home up to 30 static caravans on Sunday evening. The site was evacuated with residents made to leave the scene by emergency services. They were directed to the nearby Kingston Colts Football Club, where the support was on hand. Police were on guard at the closed entrance and exit gates, with dozens of residents still locked out and looking in. Father Whitehorse District Council said it had placed 12 households into temporary accommodation. Almost 1,600 homes in the area, including many in Southmoor and Kingston Bagprees, were left without power as a result of the fire. Supplies were expected to be restored yesterday evening. Residents said that they had received no official communication to say when they'll be allowed back into the park. "We have not been kept up to date by anybody. We don't know when we can go back in," said one man who asked for anonymity. A woman from the site said, "We've been locked out of the park with just the clothes on our backs. Everything we own is in there and we cannot get in." A third person said, "The owner of the park has been down here doing everything he can to help, but he hasn't been told much either." It was claimed that the fire was started by a barbecue which had spread and caused wider damage. Oxfordshire County Council could not confirm the cause of the fire, but said crews left early yesterday afternoon. What is known from a police officer on scene is that the fire had caused damage to the electrical system, rendering it unsafe for the public to go within the area. He said, "For health and safety reasons, nobody is allowed in here until the all clear has been given." Scottish and Southern Electricity Networks, SSEN, engineers were requested to make safe the electricity network equipment that was damaged. Oxford Fire and Rescue Services spokesman, who's described the fire as significant, said the fire was being treated as accidental. More than 30 999 calls came in alerting the crews to the blaze, with plumes of smoke could be seen from the sky from afar. Fire crews from services in Dorset and Wiltshire, Berkshire and Buckinghamshire all joined the effort to control the blaze. 11 further crews remained on scene throughout the night dealing with the incident, and a presence still remained until the early afternoon. An Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service spokesman said fire control staff from the Joint Thames Valley Fire Control Service have spent the past 12 hours coordinating significant resource movements and ensuring fire cover across the wider Thames Valley, along with multiple other incidents. There are no reported injuries from the incident, and the cause of the fire is currently considered accidental.
A trio of award-winning restaurateurs have said they're thrilled at the imminent opening of their second branch in the Oxford Covered Market. The founders of Albuquina, renowned tapas and small plates bar in Cowley Road, set up shop a full decade ago in 2016. Now, Ben Bateman, Ben Wiles and Rufus Thurston are set to open their hotly anticipated second branch in Oxford's Covered Market on July the 24th. The new spot will be building up to a full opening, eventually including Friday and Saturday evenings. Plans for the site, which was formerly Blue Blood Sports Shop, revealed the intention for a new eatery in the historic market last July. Oxford City Council approved a full refurb and refit of the shop to bring it up to restaurant standard in December, including giving it listed building consent for the works, which involved the restoration of heritage features. Albuquina joins a host of popular spots to eat and drink in the city centre market and hoped to add to its appeal as a genuine foodie destination.
Up to 300 people turned up to a protest against setting up of a potentially inhumane camp for asylum seekers near Bicester. Members of Oxford's Stand Up for Racism staged the protest in Sheep Street on Sunday. The Home Office unveiled plans last month to house asylum seekers on Ministry of Defence land near Bicester as part of a wider national strategy to phase out hotel use. Planning permission is being sought for three sites across England, including locations at Barnham in Suffolk and Linton-on-Ouse in North Yorkshire, and which together could accommodate up to 3,750 people. Oxford's Stand Up to Racism said ahead of the protest that refugees should not be housed in what it describes as inhumane camps, such as the proposed facility in Bicester. A statement from the group said, "Stand Up to Racism wants to ensure that there is a strong anti-racist current in Bicester that welcomes refugees and opposes any far-right activity. The anti-racism activist group Pink Ladies Oxford also joined the gathering. The group stages protests across the country to warn of the danger, they say, to illegal migrants pose to women's safety. Jamie Lessett, founder of Vista Litter Pickers, said he attended to press concerns from an environmental perspective. He said, "My focus was not on politics, but on potential impact that a large accommodation site could have on our local environment, wildlife, green spaces, and the additional pressure on community efforts to keep Vista clean. As volunteers, we have already spent hundreds of hours removing litter from across the town. My concern is that a significant increase in the local population should be accompanied by careful planning for waste management, environmental protection, and the preservation of nearby habitats. I also express that why are these building more houses, yet we aren't using the ones we already have abandoned across the country, as many of them are." An anonymous resident said ahead of the protest, "As the community comes together for the protest against the asylum camp at the MOD site A, let's remember why we're here. We are neighbours, friends, families, people who care deeply about Vista and our surrounding villages. Stand together with respect, humility and dignity. Be peaceful, be respectful, be kind to one another. Look after those around you, follow the guidance of the police and keep safe. Today is about our community standing together and ensuring our voices are heard."
A popular pick-your-own farm is expecting a smaller yield of strawberries this year due to the heat. Rectory Farm PYO at Stanton St John near Oxford has removed the requirement to book tickets, including at weekends, as a result. Visitors who have already booked will receive a full refund, including booking fees. As temperatures climb above 30 degrees centigrade, strawberries slow down in growth as the plants shut down and abort flowers to prioritise basic survival. Rectory Farm PYO said, "We may have fewer strawberries this weekend and across the summer than we had hoped for, essentially due to the very prolonged heat wave we've been having. It's hard to predict with certainty, but we feel the very fairest thing to do is allow you to come without tickets and keep you as updated as possible on strawberry status via our social media and newsletters. While the fruit will continue to be available for picking until September, the farm warned that supply may fluctuate throughout the season." Rectory Farm PYO said, "Our strawberries are planted on a schedule that normally means we can open a fresh field for picking around every 3 weeks. But just like people, when it gets over 30 degrees, strawberries slow down and growing stops. The recent heat waves have caused several pauses in growth across our fields, meaning the fruit simply isn't ready when we expected. It's also speeded up some of the ripening of others, so a bit of a double-edged sword. The farm will remain open for pick-your-own visitors 7 days a week from 9 a.m, with the cafe opening from 8 a.m. While strawberries may not always be available in large quantities, Rectory Farm still has plenty of raspberries, blackcurrants, red currants, and flowers for picking. By contrast, British raspberries are up to 50% sweeter than usual because of the cool spring followed by record-breaking summer temperatures. British berry growers, which represents the industry, said the increase was the biggest seen in years. Meanwhile, Oxfordshire residents have been able to pick blackberries from brambles weeks earlier this year. The Woodland Trust said earlier this month that it had found the earliest ripe blackberry on June the 28th, weeks before they usually start to ripen in mid-July. It said, "This could be an early sign of high insect activity and pollination rates, possibly leading to an abundance of fruit crops. However, early fruit ripening could also be a response to the recent heat wave across much of the UK. While early May was cooler than average, the second half of the month brought record-breaking heat, which may have contributed to earlier fruit development."
A series of food and gift fairs are set to celebrate local producers this autumn. The three events organised by cookbook author and event organiser Becky Hunt will showcase independent food producers, artists and craftspeople. The Bampton Autumn Food and Gift Fair will kick off the festivities on Saturday, October 17th, with 17 exhibitors at Bampton Village Hall and the Market Tavern, offering handcrafted gifts, homewares, jewellery, ceramics, artwork, textiles, artisan foods, sweet treats and seasonal specialities. The event, which will run from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m, promises a friendly community atmosphere and is free to enter. Following this, the Burford Autumn Food and Gift Fair will take place on Saturday, October the 31st at Warwick Hall, Burford, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. This fair, set in one of the Cotswolds' most picturesque towns, will feature a curated selection of artisan food producers and makers. Visitors can browse locally produced food and drink, handcrafted gifts, home accessories, artwork and seasonal treats. Finally, the Burford Christmas Food and Gift Market will be held on Saturday, November 28th at Warwick Hall.
Drivers who have been slapped with fines for driving through Oxford's low-traffic neighbourhoods have forked out over £750,000. Traffic cameras were installed at 6 LTNs in East Oxford in late 2024 to replace previously vandalised bollards and planters in the road. During the last financial year, motorists caught on camera paid Oxfordshire County Council £566,983 in fines, much higher than the first year's £203,000. Roads with cameras waiting for motorists to drive into an LTN include Crescent Road, Divinity Road, James Street, Littlehay Road, Magdalen Road and Litmore Road. Of the combined £770,000 of revenue generated for the County Council over the 2 years, £300,000 was from Divinity Road, a residential street just off the Cowley Road. Oxfordshire County Council said LTNs make residential streets healthier to live on and safer and more comfortable for walking and cycling. A spokesman said people driving through the cameras for the first time received a warning letter, but not a fine, while the change settled in. Vehicles persistently breaching the restrictions did start to receive fines. From November 2024, we began formally enforcing the fines. The income is spent on providing the parking enforcement service and maintaining and operating our park and ride sites. Any surplus that remains is used to fund transport-related improvements. But Temple Cowley councillor Saj Malik said the money generated from the LTNs should be put back into the area it is generated from. It should be spent on road repairs. In my division, Crescent Road needs resurfacing. The tarmac is actually vanishing, he said. I have mopeds going through at such a speed which needs tackling thanks to the LTNs. I have speeding issues at Fernhill Road, Oliver Road and Wilkins Road because people are getting frustrated, stuck in the traffic because of the LTNs. In a nutshell, money should be spent to improve the people's lifestyle where this is generated. Cycling champion and St Mary's City Councillor Emily Kerr said, as always, the best way to avoid fines for dangerous and illegal driving is to drive safely and legally. The LTNs are essential walking and cycling routes for schoolchildren, commuters and residents going about their daily business. Academic research shows that every single car journey through these routes causes danger and pollution. So it's a worry that so many drivers are flouting the multiple warnings and imposing danger onto other more vulnerable road users. LTNs were first installed on 6 roads in East Oxford and Cowley in May 2022 and were made permanent by the County Council in 2023 after an 18-month trial. Some have voiced strong support for the scheme, which aims to make residential streets safer for pedestrians and cyclists and improve air quality within the zones. However, others say they have caused misery on a daily basis. The County Council spent just over £3.8 million on the installation and maintenance of both the LTN and Quickways cycle routes between 2021 and 2024.
Villagers rallied around staff at their local pub after a fire broke out in the early hours of Sunday morning. Emergency services raced to the scene of the blaze at the Crooked Billet pub in Stoke Row near Wallingford. The blaze, which started in the ground floor kitchen, caused serious damage to the roof of the building. The spokesperson for the pub said there was a fire which badly damaged the pub and also cut the power for the pub, so it will be closed for this week. Chef Paul Clura also runs the London Street Brasserie in Reading. An Oxfordshire Fire Service spokesman said, "We were called at 2:20 a.m, sending seven fire engines from Goring, Watlington, Didcot, Abingdon and Caversham fire stations to the Crooked Billet, Knotswood Lane, Stoke Row. Crews in breathing apparatus used ladders and high-pressure hoses to extinguish a ground-floor kitchen fire that had spread to the first floor and roof structure. They departed at 2 p.m. Firefighters were called to deal with an incident at the City Roundabout. Officers used hose reels to tackle what appeared to be a fire at the Plain near Magdalen Bridge at around 1 a.m. on Saturday."
More than just the waste is now being removed from the Kidlington waste dump as clean-up operations continue full steam ahead. Contractors have now removed the giant sandbags installed alongside the rubbish, now cleared, next to the River Cherwell. Installed to stop any waste entering the water, the sandbags have now done their job well, with no waste spilling and tests confirming this, the Environment Agency previously said. What's more, site cabins installed for the workmen during their estimated six-month-long clear-up of the site have been taken away. The Environment Agency said in a statement, "The jumbo sandbag wall that prevented the waste from going into the River Cherwell has now been removed. The bag contents will be cleaned so that the material can be reused. The main site cabins are now gone, and track matting that was laid to enable heavy lorries to drive on it to collect waste from site is being removed. We've started to remove the small amount of remaining visible waste at the site perimeter. To do this, we have lightly scraped the surface with a mechanical digger and then finished by hand to avoid further damaging tree roots and risk them falling onto the A34.
A warning has been issued as multiple crews raced to a fire by an Oxfordshire garage. Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service has confirmed it attended a field fire on Farringdon Road at around 12:45 p.m. Monday, July the 13th. Four vehicles were in attendance with crews using a hose reel and beaters to extinguish the flames near to Mellor's garage and workshop. A spokesperson said Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Services were called at approximately 12:45 p.m. today to reports of a field fire on Farringdon Road, East Chellow, near Wantage. Three fire engines and a water carrier vehicle were sent to the scene. Crews used a hose reel and beaters to extinguish the fire. This comes after Oxfordshire was placed in one of the highest categories of risks for fire and severity. Right now, in Oxfordshire currently sits in the very high category for fire severity, while other parts of the south move into exceptional risk. This comes amid multiple fires in the county last week, including a major blaze near Kingston Bagbuys on Sunday, July the 12th. A spokesperson for the Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue added, "Our advice is to refrain from having barbecues in the countryside. Leave them for your garden where you have a water supply. Do not discard cigarettes. Put them out fully before disposing of. We see many fires on grass verges where it's believed from a cigarette is being flicked out of a window."
A countryside escape is being offered to a family in need of green space. Voco Oxford Thames and Voco Oxford Spires Hotels have launched a summer competition inviting locals to nominate a family without access to outdoor space for a complimentary stay. The winning family will enjoy a peaceful overnight break at one of the hotels, which includes a 30-acre riverside estate. Wendy Proctor, Cluster General Manager for both hotels, said summer should be about making memories outdoors, but not every family has access to a garden or green space at home. We wanted to offer a deserving family the chance to enjoy everything a countryside escape has to offer. From riverside walks and open lawns to simply relaxing somewhere cool, peaceful, and surrounded by nature. Both hotels offer different ways to experience Oxford and its surroundings. Voco Oxford Spires is located near the city centre, making it easy to explore museums, historic colleges, riverside walks, and independent cafes. Guests can return to the comfort of a stylish, air-conditioned hotel close to the city's attractions. Voco Oxford Thames provides a more tranquil experience with generous outdoor space, pet-friendly stays, a spa and leisure club, and easy access to both Oxford and the surrounding Oxfordshire countryside. To enter the competition, readers must email oxfordclustermarketing@ihg.com with a brief explanation of why their nominated family deserves the getaway. Entries close on July the 31st.
An annual day of dance entertained by crowds of shoppers and passers-by in Abingdon's marketplace. The annual Mr. Hemmings Day of Dance took place on Saturday, hosted by Mr. Hemmings' Abingdon traditional Morris dancers, who take their name from the former Abingdon dancer Tom Hemmings. Les Badcock, who organised the event, said he was delighted to see so many people watching the dancing in the sunshine. One of the visiting dance teams was Ashana Tribal Dancers from Abingdon. Summertime Morris also took part in the dance festival, as well as the Adderbury Village Morris, which featured hobby horses in its dancers. The Mr. Hemmings team was formed in 1978 with local men who had previously danced with the Abingdon Morris and also with other men who were either born locally or resided in the town for many years. The team has connections with a long line of Abingdon Morris dancers going back many generations.
The Henley Festival has wrapped up after a five-day celebration. The event on the banks of the River Thames showcased a spectrum of music, food and artistic displays. Despite the implementation of heat health alerts, people managed to keep the festival spirit alive. Radio DJs, TV stars and YouTubers were seen at the festival throughout the week. The festival, typically known for its posh black tie dress code, bent its rules due to the sweltering heat, allowing attendees to remove their jackets. Headlining acts brought vivacious energy into the festival. Boy George and Culture Club opened the event, treating the masses to their Grammy Award-winning hits. Regarded as global icons since their rise in the 1980s, Culture Club have reportedly sold more than 150 million records worldwide. This year's festival saw a return of the Sugar Babes with their original lineup. The trio, who have recently made a comeback, graced the stage on Thursday. It also saw Jo Wiley performing her 90s anthems set, featuring an assortment of nostalgic hits from Oasis, Blur and The Prodigy. The weekend featured Blur's Alex James and his ensemble, Britpop Classical, on Saturday. Their concert belted out 90s anthems powered up by a full orchestra. The Bootleg Beatles wrapped up the event on Sunday, serenading festival goers with a journey through the 1960s, paying tribute to the legendary band. The main stage floats on the river, with the audience using one of the grandstands. Henley Festival is known to be the only black tie festival in the UK. The celebration features a wide array of other attractions that go beyond music. The event offers fine dining at the Terrace Restaurant, gourmet street food, jazz concerts held in the evenings, art exhibits, roving performers, and various other activities. The festival's unique setting and approach reportedly attract around 25,000 attendees per year. The festival, a pinnacle gathering for the arts and music community, is held yearly in early July, immediately following the Henley Royal Regatta. First imagined and executed in 1982, The festival was initiated to provide an enriching music and arts festival for local people. It repurposes the marquees and grandstands erected for the Royal Regatta.
The public are being invited to have their say on plans for Oxfordshire County Council to move to new offices after quitting County Hall this year. The council is set to move to operations out of its present headquarters and into a new venue later this year, as part of broader efforts to enhance office spaces and support more flexible working methods. Midland House in Botley has been selected as a temporary base, while long-term changes are underway, including plans to transform County Hall into a hotel and open a new permanent office at Speedwell House in the spring of 2028. Speedwell House is slated for extensive refurbishment to accommodate council offices, assembly and meeting spaces. Improvements include replacement glazing to external elevations, installation of curtain walling to the ground floor, roof and soffit insulation upgrades, a raised roof parapet with added safety rail and stair to the roof, recladding of the existing roof plant enclosure and extension of the enclosure on the south wing. The north wing roof will see an extension of the stair core. Photovoltaic panels will be installed on the roof and an undercroft water tank room will be created. The parking courtyard will be reorganised alongside hard and soft landscaping and associated works. Two other planning applications have been withdrawn. One involves similar refurbished works of the Speedwell House and another involving the demolition of the north wing of Speedwell House. Dan Levy, Oxfordshire County Council's Cabinet Member for Finance, Property and Transformation, expressed anticipation for the transformations, saying, "We are looking forward in coming times to seeing Speedwell House taking shape as a new net zero office in 2028, as well as watching County Hall change and then thrive in its new guise as a hotel. The sale of County Hall is providing the funding for the renewal of Speedwell House." He noted that the closure of County Hall is expected later this year, with the nearby Midland House in West Way offering practical, well-equipped office space. Mr. Levy also said, "Our existing offices throughout the county will be provide bases for our teams, and these will now be supplemented by the excellent and ideally located Midland House. These are solid plans from which our officers can continue to provide excellent services to the people of Oxfordshire. Midland House's transport links include its proximity to Seacourt Park and Ride, contributed to its selection as a temporary office location. Contracts for the sale of County Hall were exchanged last year, with L&G commissioning developers Reef Origin for the site's redevelopment. Consultation on these plans is now underway, allowing the public to have their say on the proposed changes."
An award-winning chippy has spoken out after thieves stole cooking oil. Harrison's Fish and Chips in Botley has sounded the alarm over regular thefts of oil from its Elms Parade site. The business had taken preventative measures in a bid to stop thieves, but this wasn't enough as it claimed someone had helped themselves to the oil. A full drum of used oil can be worth anywhere between £40 and £70, and selling cooking oil to a registered waste oil specialist earns the eatery certificates to prove they have discarded of it correctly. In a post on social media, a spokesperson for the chippy said, "Once again, our waste oil has been stolen. Unfortunately, this isn't the first time this has happened. In the past, we've had to take measures such as storing our waste oil inside the shop overnight to prevent theft. Monday, we left the oil out specifically for our registered waste collection company to collect, only for someone to help themselves to it before they arrived. What many people don't realise is that waste cooking oil must be collected by a licensed waste carrier and disposed of or recycled correctly. These thieves are not collecting it responsibly. They're simply stealing it to make a quick buck, leaving businesses like ours to deal with the consequences."
A team from RAF Benson has completed the National Three Peaks Challenge, raising £2,500 for charity. The team from the Joint Helicopter Support Squadron, based near Wallingford, climbed Ben Nevis, Scarfell Pike and Eyre Wifter, Snowdon, within 24 hours, tackling harsh weather and tough terrain. Their efforts raised awareness and funds for SAFA, the Armed Forces charity, which provides support to service personnel, veterans and their families. Donations are still being accepted. Master Aircrew Vickers said, "Completing the National Three Peaks Challenge was incredibly tough, but knowing we were doing it to support SAFA helped motivated every step of the way. We'd like to thank everyone who has donated, shared our story and encouraged us through the challenge. We're proud to have raised both funds and awareness for charity that means so much to the Armed Forces personnel and their families. Donations can be made via the team's Just Giving page. All the money from the challenge will help SAFA continue providing essential support to those who need it."
Thames Water is spending millions every year to tackle the mounting threat of invasive mussels. The company has revealed it invests over £4 million a year to clear hundreds of thousands of mussels from its water network. Engineers clear out the equivalent of 4 Olympic swimming pools each year to keep the supply of drinking water flowing. The cost forms part of the company's wider over £6 million annual spend on combating invasive non-native species that threaten water infrastructure and the environment. Alexandra Collington, Biosecurity and Invasive Non-Native Species Officer at Thames Water, said, "Quagga mussels may be small, but the impact they have on our network is anything but. Whether crabs or crayfish, we see non-native invasive species damaging our infrastructure and causing disruption. They pose a significant threat to native wildlife and biodiversity, affecting the health and balance of our ecosystems. Quagga mussels, originally discovered in Ukraine, breed prolifically, with each mature mussel capable of producing 1 million eggs per season. Even a single mussel can start a new population, making them particularly difficult to control. They attach themselves to hard surfaces in dense clusters that restrict water flow, raise the risk of service disruption, and increase operational costs. Removing them requires power tools, hydro blasters, and, in extreme cases, specialist teams of divers. Other invasive species like signal crayfish and Chinese mitten crab are also causing problems. Both are prolific burrowers attracted to water infrastructure, where they cause corrosion, increase siltation, and heighten the risk of flooding. Signal crayfish can burrow 2 metres into waterway banks, making canals vulnerable to collapse, while Chinese mitten crabs have ravenous appetites and will take on anything in their way, putting native species at risk.
A new exhibition is set to immerse visitors into the world of clues, puzzles and sleuthing. Mystery Academy, School for Young Detectives, opens on July the 18th at the Story Museum. The interactive exhibition has been co-designed by young people in Oxfordshire and takes visitors inside a fictional detective boarding school. Visitors can follow clues, solve puzzles and build detective skills in a setting featuring a forensics lab, a library and a hidden bookcase door. The exhibition was co-designed by the museum's story curators, a group of 12 to 16-year-olds who worked alongside the museum's production team during weekly after-school sessions. Their work shaped the concept, look and feel of the immersive experience. Visitors will be able to explore the detective genre through stories old and new, from Sherlock Holmes and Inspector Morse to Robin Stevens's Murders Most Unladylike, Minnie Gray's Hermelin, and Mark Haddon's Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. Early fingerprinting kits and a waistcoat camera will be among the historical objects on display.
City scientists have started a vaccine trial to tackle Ebola virus. Oxford Vaccine Group has launched a Phase 1 clinical trial in response to the ongoing outbreak in the Democratic Republic of the Congo and neighbouring Uganda. The trial is taking place in Oxford and will evaluate the safety and immune response of the vaccine in 50 healthy adults aged 18 to 55. Professor Teresa Lamb, Kaliva Head of Immunology at the Oxford Vaccine Group and Pandemic Sciences Institute, said the ongoing Bundibugyo Ebola virus outbreak continues to devastate affected communities, underlining the urgent need for effective vaccines and treatments. Our team has worked tirelessly with global partners to develop a candidate V vaccine, demonstrating how collaborative partnerships can enable rapid response in the face of rapidly evolving outbreaks. This milestone comes after only 57 days since the World Health Organization declared the outbreak a public health emergency of international concern. The vaccine was developed by scientists at the University of Oxford's Oxford Vaccine Group and Pandemic Sciences Institute. It uses the same viral vector platform as the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine.
A care home was transformed into a festival for an afternoon of music, laughter and ice cream. Southerdown Care Home in Chipping Norton opened its doors to residents, relatives and friends and members of the local community for a day of celebration, complete with live entertainment and outdoor treats. One of the highlights was a visit from a local ice cream van, which brought back childhood memories and sparked conversations about summer's past. Shirley, a resident at Southerdown Care Home, said, "I thoroughly enjoyed the day, surrounded by lots of great people. Staff did a great job, not just on the day, but organising the event and getting everyone together."
More than 500 riders took part in Bike Oxford, which supported a record 24 charities through rider donations and sponsored participants. Funds were also raised through charity places provided by Iconic Cycling Events to help charities cut down on recruitment and admin costs. Richard Best of Iconic Cycling Events said, "Raising more than £40,000 for a record 24 charities is something everyone involved with Bike Oxford can be incredibly proud of. Every rider, volunteer, supporter and sponsor has played a part in helping charities continue their vital work across Oxfordshire." The ride took place on June the 21st and offered routes through Oxfordshire. Riders raised money for causes ranging from mental health and cancer research to animal welfare and community support. Oxford's Lord Mayor Chu Mungkonge attended a cyclability session at Horsepath Athletics Track ahead of the main event. The session focused on making cycling inclusive and accessible for all abilities. Sobel House Hospice, which is marking its 50th anniversary this year, served as the event's title charity partner. A team of 32 cyclists raised £18,577 for the hospice. Since its launch, Bike Oxford has become a major charity cycling event in the county, combining a friendly atmosphere with scenic routes. It continues to grow thanks to the generosity of cyclists who turn their ride into donations. Catherine Setz, Bike Oxford champion, said, "It was an honour to be involved in Bike Oxford 2026. I work in the charity sector, so it was brilliant to help bring lots of organisations together to celebrate what we can all achieve with some joyful pedal power." The event will return on June the 13th, 2027, with Sobel House once again serving as the title charity partner.
An Oxford expert's three must-know tips for 2026 UK staycations have been revealed. Simon Bishop of the Whalen's Volvo branch at Oxford's Cumnor Hill has said that there are three things the public must be aware of before going on UK holidays this year. He said, "For any British holiday, there's one essential detail that often gets overlooked, the car. This is especially relevant now as Visit Britain has said a record 77% of sunseekers are choosing to embark on a staycation in 2026. The first of Mr. Bishop's top tips is to check the condition of your car. Along with ensuring it has fuel and the lights are working, he said another aspect is often forgotten. One thing that is easily overlooked, he explained, is checking the wheel nut key is stored safely. He added, store it in a safe, accessible place. Without it, even basic maintenance like changing a tire can become difficult. His second tip was to test the battery, which can be impacted by hot weather. He said, to avoid a breakdown, it's essential to check your battery's condition, especially if your car is a few years old and regularly exposed to intense summer heat, as it has to work much harder over a prolonged period of time. Finally, he suggested that staycationers should plan their journey and ensure their technology is ready. He said, for electric vehicle drivers, technology can play an even bigger role in journey planning.
Muslim Climate Action Week was celebrated by Islamic Relief UK through a hands-on event at Willowbrook Farm near Kidlington. On the day, people were invited to explore one of the UK's first halal and tayyib farms. This unique initiative spotlighted sustainable living and environmental care. Willowbrook Farm uses natural farming methods without chemicals or pesticides, focusing on climate-friendly approaches such as protecting biodiversity and working in harmony with nature and the changing seasons. Guests had the opportunity to take part in a variety of activities, including harvesting seasonal produce, willow weaving, wool spinning, and food preserving. The event encouraged local communities to reconnect with nature and contribute to practical climate action.
The peacock butterfly has been crowned Oxfordshire's favourite. It follows a public vote and Butterfly Conservation is now encouraging residents to join the Big Butterfly Count and help track the species numbers. The peacock also topped the national poll, earning the title of Britain's favourite butterfly and the first ever vote covering all 60 UK species. Kate Merry, Head of Engagement at Butterfly Conservation, said, "It's been wonderful to see so many of people in Oxfordshire get behind their favourite butterflies in the vote. Now we want that passion to turn into action. The Big Butterfly Count starts on Friday, July the 17th, and we'd love residents to be ready and waiting to help paint a picture of how butterflies and moths are doing across the county." Rounding out Oxfordshire's top five were the small tortoise shell in second place, followed by the holly blue, orange tip and brimstone. Butterfly Conservation is now calling on the public to take part in its Big Butterfly Count, which runs from July the 17th to August the 9th, and helps monitor the health of butterfly populations nationwide. The Big Butterfly Count is the world's largest butterfly survey, asking people to spend 15 minutes in a sunny outdoor spot counting the butterflies and day flying moths they see, and submit their sightings through a free app or the project website. Ms. Merry said, "Butterflies are key indicators of the UK's biodiversity and the environmental health, so every single person that takes part and submits their sightings is helping us to see how vital these pollinators are doing, which in turn helps conservationists build a wider picture of how all butterflies and moths are faring. It's easy, fun for all the family, and a great excuse to get outside and experience the simple joy of spotting butterflies. Download the app, mark the date, and get ready to get out for the count." This year's event carries particular importance. In 2024, Butterfly Conservation declared a butterfly emergency after populations hit their lowest level in the survey's history. The decline is attributed to factors such as habitat loss, pesticide use, and climate change. Butterfly Conservation has since launched a rescue mission to help reverse long-term declines. Around 80% of UK butterfly species have declined over the past 50 years, and scientists need as many eyes as possible looking for butterflies this summer to see what's happening. The peacock, small tortoise shell, holly blue and brimstone are among the 20 butterflies and day flying moths that can be recorded during the count. Taking part is simple. Simply download the free Big Butterfly Count app or visit bigbutterflycount.org.
Cricketers did battle on the field as they clashed in one of Oxford's strangest sporting fixtures. In a tradition going back about 36 years, regulars at Summertown's Dewdrop Inn, including staff from nearby Summerfield School, competed against their old rivals, former customers of the long-since-closed Woodstock Arms, along with players from St Edward's School, for whom the pub was their local hostelry. The friendly fixture these days largely involves staff and customers of the Dewdrop and members of the local community, though opposition players were this year bolstered by players from other city pubs, including the Grapes in George Street and the Royal Blenheim in St Ebbs, and won by 2 wickets. However, as accomplished umpire Dewdrop regular and former Summerfield school teacher Bill Bailey pointed out, the game is not meant to be taken too seriously. With a total of 25 players of all abilities joining in and everyone having a bat and bowl, Dewdrop captain Michael Wright agreed, saying it's less about keeping score than keeping tradition going.
That was the last of our articles for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about Ox Talk, please telephone Margaret on 07496 062 280. That's 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from previous weeks are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen directly or download the audio file. You can also listen on an Alexa device through the Talking Newspapers skill. If you need advice on this, please phone the main Oxtalk number. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next Tuesday with more news, so until then, we hope you have a good week.